Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats. This week, I am speaking to Sandy Sabian, who is one of the co-founders of this fantastic website called Grit and Soul. Grit and Soul is a place for women to tell their stories, women who've overcome adversity, women who are in midlife or the second phase of their life, and they're looking to regain some sense of purpose or tell their stories to inspire other people. And I recently became connected with one of the other co-founders of the website. Her name is Rose. Rose actually came on my retreat with me recently, and I had a whole week with her. Fabulous woman. And Rose, along with Sandy and Heidi, have joined together to create this website, and I've brought Sandy on the show today just to find out a little bit more of the reason they started this website, what the plans are moving forward, and you know what their vision is for like women moving forward. So we've got a great conversation ahead of us. So welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
So wow. Your sister, by the way, we need to just talk about her. I met Rose on the street, and I love
her. How long
her.
Do we have?
Yeah. I know she's going to be listening to this. She's fabulous. She's fabulous. And I actually got the opportunity to speak to her on the retreat about Grit and Soul and why it started. But I'd like to hear that from you. If you could share that with the listeners of this podcast, you know, what was the impetus to get something created for women in their 40s and beyond?
Sure. So just to note, my background is I'm in marketing, and I have a small ad agency that specializes in marketing to women. So it's called Womenkind. And I've always had this special emphasis on women and their behaviors and marketing to them and getting to really know women. So that partnered with, you know, I'm 56 now. We started this when I was 55, but it really was born of just having conversations with friends of mine and where they were in their lives and what's happening to them in their lives. And, you know, sometimes they just chose, you know, to change what was going on in their lives, either due to just basically being dissatisfied with where their lives were going, or in some cases, sadly, something happened to them. Loss of a child or loss of a job or financial disasters, or some women just wanted to make a career change, and you know, they were either you know, on Wall Street or having some sort of business background and just felt unfulfilled and decided to move on. And I found a lot of women around my age were at a point where they can make changes, or they grown their children and you know, they're empty nesters, and they have the time to now refocus on themselves. And what I found was all these women found themselves, or they felt like they were on a separate journey and no one else was going through what they were going through. And it's not true. There's so many women who find themselves in the same place as my friends or friends of friends. So we decided, the three of us decided to kind of create a forum to share stories and let other women know they may not be going through these things alone. And these stories are hope, you know, we're hoping they inspire other women to either create a new path or just make them feel more positive about where they are and create change in their lives or deal with the change that's happening in their lives.
It's like you say, like everyone's got a story, right? We've all got something that's happened to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about, you were just saying there that we, you know, change happens and something usually happens. And for me, like the menopause was mixed in with my sort of change, and often it tends to come around. And for women that, you know, they're going through some physical, emotional, mm-hmm. and then you've got all of these things in the background, like you say, like the empty nesters, the career change, mm-hmm. or the idea that, you know, they don't feel worthy. And that's something I hear often, that, you know, they may feel lost or invisible, and they're in this like this cloud of isolation that they don't seem to be able to break out of, because nobody, it's very difficult to articulate what you're feeling when you really don't know the path forward. And so I love the fact that you've like got all of these stories on the website. That's just so inspiring. And the whole point of the stories is that they may have come up against adversity. They may have come up against change that was very difficult to actually cope with, because, you know, change can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a sort, even if it looks like a small glimmer, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And you present the information to women in a way that feels very genuine and real, because I talk about this all the time on my podcast, how I get really frustrated with the whole woo-woo, like fluffiness of like running through a field with a floaty skirt on into my 50s, because, you know, life is so wonderful. I call bullshit on that, because it's not like that, you know. It
can be
very, very challenging. And just to be able to have another story that relates to yours, another person out there that feels similar to you and can articulate it so that you feel connected is so important, right?
Right.
I'd love to go back to you personally. So you mm-hmm. said, you know, you're you have this marketing company, this ad agency called Womankind. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious about that, because, you know, we see everything out there that's marketed towards women, and it's always in the 20s and 30s. The women are always like half
white. Yes.
The women are always white. You know, there's no diversity as well. And then I look at like myself now, the place I am now, age 49, compared to the place I was when I was 29. I have a different income bracket. I have a different life goal, different life goals. And I should be the person they're marketing to for their products. What's going on, and what do you see in the industry? Like, does it frustrate you, or?
Well, yeah, that's why we started Womankind. So my background, I was an art director, and the way it works in the advertising business, when you create a campaign, TV commercial ad, print ads, it's a copywriter and an art director, and you come up with a concept, and that's how you work. So my present partner in Womankind is a copywriter, and we became a team about 20 years ago. And that in and of itself was rare. There was so few female creatives. So that was, you know, problem number one in the ad business. Most of the communications being created were created by men. And I'm not exaggerating. 85% of creative departments are men. When we started Womankind, that was the statistic. It's gotten a little bit better. In fact, there was an organization called the 3%ers, meaning all creative directors in advertising. Only 3% of all creative directors in advertising were women. So that's problem number one. You have men writing communications for women. And when my partner's name is Christy Faulkner, when we got together, it was like, oh, two women. Okay, you're gonna pitch the OB tampons account. You're gonna work on Johnson & Johnson's baby, because the men didn't want to touch that. So we became a very in-demand team in the business, because we're so few women. And then once we became a team, we decided there was something bigger going on. And, you know, we were always the only women team in a room full of men. So we decided, and I'm going to shorten this whole thing, but we decided to look deeper. And and figure out what is marketing to women. You know, it's not just selling them tampons and shampoo and baby products. It's selling them cars and finance and tech, because we, and it's a completely inverse fraction here. 85% of the communications are developed by men. Meanwhile, 85% of women buy all goods and services across the board. So there's a big mismatch here. So we decided to start Womankind, but we didn't want to do fashion. We didn't want to do beauty. We didn't want to do...
Yeah, you didn't want to pigeonhole yourself into typical women.
No, because that's not marketing to women. No, I want to...
Yeah, it's like when you said you got the Orbi tampon thing. I'm like, that's almost a bit insulting. Oh, they're women, so they can deal with that. I'm like, we buy other stuff, guys. Yeah.
And here's the other thing. When we worked at this ad agency that had Johnson & Johnson as a client, Johnson & Johnson was billing about $300 million. It was a very, very important client. But it doesn't win a lot of awards because it's not the most artful stuff. It's very precise. And you're dealing with a lot of MBAs that work on Johnson & Johnson. Meanwhile, the guys working on the $1 million Labatt's beer account are getting the promotions and they're winning the awards and they're getting all the notoriety. And we're sitting there actually, you know, working on the accounts that pay the bills of the agency. And that's what we decided to go off on our own. We're like, fuck this. We're going to have our own agency and we're going to... rethink what this is all about, what marketing to women really
and actually
means.
Represent us, right?
Right.
I love the fact that men are required to know how women think as far as the marketing is concerned. That's quite interesting.
Right. I had to report. So we actually pitched and won the OB tampon account because that was also a J&J client. And what they have is they have the roster of agencies kind of compete against each other for other J&J brands. So they might have, you know, 10 different agencies and those 10 different agencies always have to compete for more work. So the OB tampon account was worth tens of millions of dollars. And we won it and we got nothing. No memo went out because, you know, it's a very unsexy thing for a, you know, an agency to talk about. We got no raises, no promotions, no nothing. Yet, here's this, I forget what it was. I think it was like $85 million worth of business. And basically it's like, oh, thank you very much. You know, thanks. And I had to, you know, show my bosses the work. It was two old, you know, fat guys. And, you know, it was just so frustrating. So that's why we left. And we wanted to redefine what marketing to women really was. And women controlled the purse strings in this country and mostly in other countries as well. But especially here, I mean, that was our focus. But, you know, it's starting to change, but it's like turning the Queen Mary. It's just so hard. And finally, things are getting more diverse. But when we started Womankind 10 years ago, we got a lot of pushback. And some of the pushback was from women saying, why do you need to speak to me differently? And our pushback was because no one's speaking to you properly. You're either, so there was two ways to market to women back then. It was either as a mom, you know, stay at home mom with her head in the toilet cleaning, you know, with a scrub brush.
With a gin and tonic by the side of her. Or is that just me?
Right, exactly. No, that's where it all leads to. But, and the other one was a sex kitten. So either you're like this sexy young thing or you're a mom. And then it was very thinly dimensionalized. So and we're more complicated than that. And, you know, and then they would try to portray a woman in business. So throw her in a business suit and a briefcase. There you go. Now we've got all bases covered. But at Womankind, what we found was women are different people throughout their day. So in the morning, I might be in mommy mode. After 9 o'clock, I'm in professional mode. And then after work, I'm in girlfriend mode. I'm going out with my friends. Then I might be back at home and I'm back in, you know, wife mode. And, you know, that's how you should segment women. And then, you know, I'm also, you know, I love to work out. I love the theater. And you have to really get in deeply into women and what's bothering women. you know, at what points of their lives. So we have to balance way more than men. And that was never represented in marketing. And, you know, it's funny because I actually worked on a menopause product a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And menopause advertising before we did this work with Amberin was all about suffering, 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 suffering. Now, yes, you do suffer through menopause, of course, but you're not representing the woman. What is she going through? What does she want to go through? But she's got these symptoms to deal with. So let's not just portray her as some, you know, bitchy, sweating, you know, overweight woman, like a lot of the other brands were doing. It's like,
no, it's not the story we want to like leave.
Exactly.
A legacy we want to leave behind. I agree completely.
Yeah.
It's like, to me, it's about showing women as being like strong and resilient despite the symptoms.
Right. Right. And women are strong and they're going to face menopause head on. So just give them something that will work and she can go on her merry way. But they were very resistant. Like, but what about the suffering? We got to show her sweat. It's like, no, you don't have to show her sweating. She understands that. She gets it. She doesn't need to be reminded that she's got hot flashes. Let's move on. And we did that while we were doing OB tampons. It's like, you know, we got to do the side-by-side expanding tampons. Like, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't talk to her like a...
That. Yeah.
And then we called it, you know, the Rhapsody in Blue, like all the... pad companies when they would do that like leak thing. It's like, women don't want to see this. We don't want to see this. I don't want to eat dinner and have the television on and see, you know, a sanitary napkin with blue liquid being poured on it. Don't want to see it. Don't need it. I get it. This has been happening since I was 13. Just tell me what you're going to do for me. Like, it's just,
yeah, so tell me about the product. Yeah. Just get
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So that's where I'm coming from. So that, and it naturally led to Grit and Soul because, you know, it's kind of been my focus and trying to get women's stories out there authentically and honestly. And what you said about the rah-rah is so true because I think a lot of women try to get caught up in this, like, you know, yay us, you know, what was that Helen Reddy song? Women Hear Me Roar. Like, that's all well and good, but let's just get like a really honest, simple, authentic story out there about a woman, you know.
We need reality and it's more relatable, and that's the type of thing that's inspiring for us. Not the like, look at my flowing hair and my perfect skin. That's just not relatable. And it's just like, you know, please tell me something that I see myself in. And then I see that you've managed to overcome and you've made choices. And so I'd like to like be inspired by that to do the same thing. So let's just go to the website.
Sure.
So I'll talk about Rose's like story actually, even though she said not to. I'm going to do it.
Do it.
But there's a little line that she says on the website that I really like. And she says, my personal transformation began when my children were grown and on their own careers, right? So, you know, that's a big deal. We're all going to, well, those of us who have children are going to be empty nesters, right? And that can be both exciting because we've raised children to get there and we want them to thrive. But it's also like a little bit of our heart's going to get broken, right? And Rose sees herself as an empty nester and retired after a very dynamic career in technology. She actually came from the same background as myself, actually. I was at IBMer as well. And so then she was like, well, now what? Like, I don't want to just be at home on my own and retired. I actually have still got drive in me. And I think that's sort of where I want to go next is like, I hear this story all the time from women that, you know, they may have been through some adversity and they may have been through some symptomatic stuff, maybe to do with menopause or challenges financially or emotionally with their family. But there usually is like then a next step that finds that those things don't feel as burdensome and they can take on new challenges. But most of the time I hear women say, but I don't know what to do. Like,
right.
I'm actually at the stage where I get like things are going to be good now, but now what?
Yes, that's a recurring theme in many women's lives.
And so, yeah, and so, and that's obviously why Rose with you and Heidi started Grit and Soul. So therefore she found her purpose and she found her passion. But I think I'd like to ask you, what are the sort of stories that you've heard? Because there's so many we can talk about on your website that have really inspired you, have really have left a lasting, profound message that you felt like, you know what, there's a real future for women as we go into this.
Yeah. Well, there's so many great stories. I think one of our early ones is still one of my favorite. I'm not sure if you saw, but her name is Agnes Hall. And she's actually the grandmother of someone my sister used to work with at Lebanon. So Agnes dropped out of school at 14. And she was from the South. She's an African-American woman, and she left school at 14, which was not uncommon back then. We're talking about, she's in her 80s right now, so my math is not that good, but I don't remember what years this was. But anyway.
Let's not go there.
She dropped off, yeah. She dropped out of school, and she started working as a secretary, and I think she became a secretary at a school, and so her boss said to her, you know, you're really bright. You should, go for your graduate degree. She goes, well, I never even graduated high school. So she started on this journey she was married at the time. She had kids relatively young.
Quite young, right. I think I remember reading.
Yeah.
She was 16, 17, right?
Yeah. And she had 3 or 4 kids and she got her GED. Then she wanted to go to college. So she started, as she's working, she went and started getting her college degree. And at first her husband really wasn't crazy about this because he wasn't that educated. So there's a bit of intimidation there and she had to work through that. I mean, the obstacles that she had in her way were incredible. And she got her college diploma or college degree. She got her master's degree. She became a teacher. Then she became a principal of a school. And then she became a member of the Board of Education in her county. And this was a woman who just never quit. She's so inspirational. Lovely, lovely woman. The story really resonated with a lot of people. But here's a woman. She was a high school dropout at 14 and then became this just highly regarded woman of education, and she did it through many, many obstacles, and she did it, and it's a great story.
And she never stopped, did she?
Like, she never stopped. And then she wondered why anybody was interested in her story. It's so funny because when she got such a great reaction, and she's like, really? People are interested in this? And she didn't really understand her accomplishments, so she's so humble and just wonderful. So I encourage everyone to read her story.
Yeah, I've read that. I've read that one. I think it's really great. And one of the sort of things I got out of that one as well is that, she was the dropout and she got a degree and a highest and everything, but it was in a time when it wasn't done. I think that was more, one, she's a woman of color, so the odds were against her.
Yeah.
And then just the fact that, she was born in a generation where it was not expected that she would go on to higher education.
Right.
So she sort of broke all of these norms and it is really great.
Yeah. And she didn't think she had a story. It's incredible.
Hi guys, Amanda here. I'm just jumping in to ask you a quick favor. If you are enjoying my podcast, then I'd love you to leave me a review on either iTunes or Google Play. It helps me get in front of new listeners so I can keep making great content for you. And in return, I'd like to send you my Abs on Fire 12-week core-focused workout plan. All you need to do after you've done your review is simply email me at amanda@fitandchips.com and I'll send you the program straight away. Thanks, guys, for all your support. And now back to the show.
There was another story. My friend Tracy, who we met when our boys were in kindergarten, and she has a great story as well. She was married, when I met her, mother of two, and she became a stay-at-home mom. Her husband was a podiatrist. They ended up getting divorced, and like you said, she was like, what do I do now? What do I do now? And she, interestingly enough, she has a science background. She went to Cornell, has a science background, and wanted to go to medical school, but her husband, who was then her boyfriend, discouraged her. It's like, why do I want to go to medical school? Like, you know, and discouraged her. So she never did it. So when she was divorced, she was trying to figure out what to do. And she was, her boyfriend at the time was a musician. He said, well, you know, you can help me with my music. And why don't you take a film editing class? Because, you know, I work on videos and you can help me. So she took a film editing class here in New York, which she fell in love with. And one of the assignments was to do a 10-minute documentary. So she did a 10-minute documentary on this cool band in Brooklyn. And she loved it and then just started work on documentaries. And now she's this award-winning documentarian. And she started doing this at 50. So here's a woman who was a stay-at-home mom with a science background, and now she's winning awards. And I think she has 5 documentaries under her belt. And she did one called Not Black Enough. She's also African-American. And she did this fascinating documentary called Not Black Enough, which has to do with the African-American culture about, you know, whether you're true to your culture. And it's very, very interesting, and won a slew of awards at all the film festivals. So that's another great story.
I think the underlying message that I hear as well is that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of us out there with strong personalities. I know you and I have, and so does Rose. And so part of the expectation for us is that, you know, we will keep doing stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of in our nature. But there's a lot of women out there that have almost like, I want to word this so I don't sound offensive because it's not meant to be, but they, you know, they've taken a back seat to their career because they wanted to be there for the children, which is something as well, you know, and they've just become the caregiver nurturer in the family. And so they find a time in their lives where they're both a mother and maybe a caregiver, like in that squeeze generation, you know, for parents and children. And then
there
comes a times when they don't care for themselves as much as they should. Like they've taken their own self-care has taken a bit of a backseat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I know that they're the women that when I've spoken to, they've said, well, I've never, ever done anything because I've always just given the whole time. And so sometimes it's like, how do they find what that next step is? And one of my really good friends who is a Harvard Business School grad told me this one line once, and I was talking about like how I've fallen down this menopause rabbit hole and who knew I would end up here and being like a voice for, you know, women through menopause. And she said to me, well, where do you want to go with it? What's your plan? Do you have a plan? And I was like, well, I'll probably just keep winging it like I have the whole time. And she said, well, what do you define as being successful? Like, how successful do you want to be? And she said, because one of the things that is absolutely okay to say is that this is enough. Right now is enough. And that's what my idea of success is. Like, I'm healthy. I'm like financially secure. I'm happy.
Yes.
You know, and I'm doing something that's making people feel better about themselves. That's actually okay to say. And that's enough. That's completely enough for me right now. And so I think another underlying thing that I'm seeing from this is that you don't have to like invent something or create something brand new. You can just actually start caring for yourselves and just be more positive and more resilient moving into like after in our second half, right? Don't you think? I think that's...
Absolutely. You know, I just want to speak to that a little bit. Societal norms put such pressure on women that, you know, when you say they take a back seat, it's true. And that's been the societal norm since time began. Because when a woman has a child, even if she's married, guess who's the responsibility? The onus is 98% of the time on the woman. And women have to take time out of their careers to take care of their kids. Another point in their lives comes when they have to take care of their parents. It's the balance always falls on the woman. And if she God forbid, decides to maybe not, you know, always be there for the kids, she's sometimes crucified by society. Like, oh my God, that woman left her kids. You know, I mean, you've seen it like in divorce cases. If a man ever, you know, gets, if a father assumes custody of his children, people are appalled. Like, so it's, we've always had these societal pressures to always have the responsibility of the children, the house, the all that stuff that goes around it. And here's an example I always cite. If you're on a plane and there's a woman and she's got a crying 2-year-old, people kind of roll their eyes. Oh, please keep that kid quiet. If there's a guy, which is rare, with a crying 2-year-old, people feel sorry for him. You know, and why is that? Why is it poor man, poor man, poor man? And if the mom has the crying 2-year-old, it's like, why can't she control her kid? And it's fascinating when you see that. And because, again, society demands that the women are the caretakers, the women who always have to create the balance. And guess what? When she's raised her children, they leave. No wonder she doesn't know what to do, because she's too busy caring about everyone else in her life for the past 25 years.
And life can pass them by. And it's
absolutely, especially when it comes to technology. So what I've seen happen in my own business. So I've always worked. I've worked since I had kids, and I still do. So, but I've seen women who have taken 10 years off, 15 years off, and they come back. They want to get back in the advertising business. But so much has changed. It's so completely different. I mean, you know, and they go, well, when I left, I was a senior vice president and I was doing this, that. And it's very different. So you can't be discouraged, even though it is, you know, discouraging. But, you know, life continues on. And when you go down a different path for a while and you come back to your old path, it's different, but it's okay. It's not insurmountable, but you just have to be realistic. You know, you might have to redefine your job descriptions or your job, what you want to do as a job. But, you know, life goes on and things change, and you just shouldn't let that get in your way, because sometimes things change for the better. Sometimes they don't, but still. And women shouldn't let that hold them back.
No, I think that's a really great message, because, like you say, let's just be realistic about this. I was in tech all my life, and my kids know more than I do now, my 12-year-old, and
right.
I feel like I'm on top of things. So, yeah, times are going to change, but you still got women of our age have got so much value to add.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a place for us. There's a place for us outside the family home to do something that makes them thrive and makes them feel really proud of themselves. And I think that that's accessible to everyone. It doesn't matter what your skill set is. It really doesn't. I mean, I think I read on your website, one of the stories was a woman who was, to correct me if I'm wrong, a nurse turned goat farmer.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's something I can get down with. I could totally.
Such a great story.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it can be anything, right?
It can be anything. And you know, sometimes you don't have to know exactly your destination, but you just kind of have to leave your eyes wide open and just listen and observe and really see what makes you happy. You know, I started a yoga studio. How long ago was this? I was in advertising. I loved yoga. I invited my business partner out to my house in Sag Harbor to go to this yoga studio. She loved it. And we decided to open up a yoga studio in her hometown in Connecticut because there wasn't one. And we kind of dabbled in that for a little bit, and then we sold it. So it sometimes it's just like, hey, let's see if we can try this, you know? And, you know, it takes a bit of dedication and time, but it doesn't have to be forever. And you could just kind of play with it and just go like, what's the first step to making this happen? You know, sometimes you just step by step by step, and you know, it's the next stepping stone.
But it helps to follow your passion. That's what I found in life, is that, you know, I've been in the corporate world, I've been in that industry, and it, for all it paid well, it never ever made me want to get out of bed in the morning.
Right.
even right. at the age of 30, whereas the stuff I do now, it feeds my soul. And life can be easier when you find something that does that, that makes you feel excited about life, right?
Well, here's something that someone told me that I thought was so interesting. This woman I know now who does mostly development work and does empowerment groups for women and young girls. When she came out of school, she became an investment banker and made a ton of money. And then after 10 years said, you know what? I'm done with this. I've made a lot of money. I've saved it. Now I'm going to do what I really want. So when college age girls say to her, should I follow my passion when I graduate or should I go for the money? And she says, go for the money first. So get yourself a job, get yourself some money, put some money in your pocket, because that's going to allow you to achieve something you really want to do. And I found that so interesting because sometimes, you know, when you first hear it, you go, oh, go for the money. Like, what do you get? But it's true because it's going to be so much harder if you're just coming out of school and you take a job that pays nothing because you can't sustain yourself. So sometimes you just have to be realistic. And I was, you know, when you first hear that, go for the money.
Well, that's a very masculine thing to say. I mean, it's something that women don't like asking for money. We don't like
talking
about what we're worth. At all.
Oh, can I just tell you a little story about exactly that before I forget?
No, it drives me crazy. And I think that we need to start saying, yeah, it's okay to set yourself up financially and do what you want to do.
Exactly. It's okay because you need money. You need it for living and food and whatever. So I've interviewed a lot of people for jobs, obviously. And we're a woman-focused company. So we hire a lot of women, a lot of women creatives. I cannot tell you how many times I interview a young woman, art director, copywriter, account person, doesn't matter. And I say, what salary are you looking for? And they go, well, my day rate. So a lot of creative people, freelance, have a day rate. So they'll say, I have $1,000 day rate. So I cannot tell you how often this happens and it drives me bananas. What's your day rate? My day rate is $800 a day, but I'm negotiable. And it's all in the same breath. I interview a guy, what's your day rate? It's $1,000.
Yep.
And that's it. And I cannot tell you. And so I started saying to women, why did you just say you're negotiable? Did I ask you if you were negotiable? Like, why do you go there? And I usually say that, like, you know, like just kind of early up. I don't want to scare them, but I just go, why do you say that? Like, why? Why do you say that? Why do you say you're negotiable? Because now I'm at a point where I like to help women. I like to give them some coaching.
And the tools they need. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But yeah, don't go there. What if someone doesn't ask you to negotiate your day rate or your salary, don't go there. And when I've had reviews for men and women, there was a guy who worked for me. He was good. He was very good. And so we're doing his review and he asked for a 10% or 10 or 15% salary raise. I'm like, whoa, he was making a good, you know, salary. And then I interviewed another girl who was a fantastic art director. And she said, I would like to raise my salary. And it was like a paltry amount. I think it was like 2%. Like she gave me a number as opposed to a percentage. And it's just,
it's a
mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's a conversation that needs to change. I come across it all the time in the personal training industry. I mean, we have cancellation policies that, you know, it's easy for a woman to, like, personal trainer, if someone comes up and goes, I'm sorry, I didn't make it. I'm sorry, I didn't let you know. Okay, fine. We'll move on from, you know, the next time though, you have to pay me a cancellation fee. Male trainers, it's not even an open conversation. It's like, you owe me for that session. I was here. And so I hear this all the time. And so I'd love that conversation to change because we shouldn't be afraid to ask for what we're worth. And that's been a really hard lesson for me to learn. And I feel good doing it now, but my goodness, I'm old enough that I should have learned that a long time ago.
Right.
Can I ask you sort of what's next? Because like, I'm interested, like, so you have all this super great, valuable information on the website you have. And also you have a blog with some great articles on. People should check that out as well. But what's next for Grit and Soul? I mean, are you just going to keep going along sharing stories or?
We're definitely going to move into video. So again, this is like my side hustle, as they say now, but I love it. I love it. I just get such satisfaction, and I work on it early morning, late at night, sneak it in between, you know, during the day when I can. So I definitely want to get, you know, into the video. I would love to do long form on these. I think these stories are great, and I don't think there's enough of these kinds of stories out in the media. And, you know, these are not celebrities we're talking to. These are everyday, hardworking women whose stories need to be told. And I can see these, you know, in long form. I can see them, you know, part of an ongoing program. So I want to make these stories bigger because I think they resonate with a lot of people. And I'm always interested to see what topics blow up and get really popular. And we actually ran a story on menopause, Meg Matthews. Huge reaction. We just ran a story on a woman who was a child of an alcoholic. Huge reaction. Because there's a lot of people there that this resonates with. They're going through the same stuff.
There are also topics that nobody really wants to talk about, right?
Right. And this book by Jean McCullough, she writes, she finally decided to tell her story at 60. And, you know, and she talks about, you know, the facade her mother created for her family growing up and hiding all this stuff. And the comments that we've gotten on it on Facebook, it's like, and all these women raising their hands go, me too. That was me. That was my story.
Is this the alcoholic?
So she was, her father was an alcoholic, and she grew up on Park Avenue, living this wonderful lifestyle, so it seemed. And, mm-hmm. you know, the usual Manhattan, Park Avenue, the Hamptons. And meanwhile, her father was an alcoholic, and they were a pretty dysfunctional family. And she writes about it in her book. And all these years, she's been a writer, but she's been mostly an editor. And she talks about purposely not writing her story until now. She's finally decided, like, I'm going to tell my story. You know, this was going on.
Because those type of stories are very personal, right? I mean, the whole point of, like, her waiting that long is, chances are she, even though she'd been through hell, she wanted to be respectful to her family and tell it in a way that, you know, didn't hurt anybody as well. Mm-hmm. I think these, personally, for your business, even though it's got nothing to do with me, I was like looking at these stories thinking, I'd love to hear these women on a stage with a glass of wine in my hand telling me exactly what they've been through. I think it would be so great to create like this amazing platform where we really matter, you know, where women really matter. I think
I'd love to do a conference of just, you know, storytelling. I think people want to hear these stories because it really makes them less isolated. It gives them inspiration. It might just put them on that path and taking that first step to changing something. There's another great story, Julie Sabatino, who was a investment banker on Wall Street, hated every second of it, and basically became an investment banker because her dad was an investment banker, and her path was basically chosen for her. Like, her parents like, oh no, this is what you're going to do. And she hated it. And she's the one who became a bridal stylist, because when she went to shop
for her
own.
That's like so random to go from one to the other. It's hilarious.
Well, here's the thing about, maybe sometimes you don't know what your passion is. So when she was getting married, she had a really hard time finding a wedding dress for her body type. So there was no one to really help. Her mom and sister were more of a hindrance. And she's like, I wish there was someone who said, oh, you know what? So-and-so makes a really great gown if you're full figured or this, that. And there really wasn't. There were wedding planners who would, you know, find a hall and caterer and all that stuff. But there was never a wedding.
Don't worry about that. This is what I love about this podcast. We keep it real.
Okay. I thought I had done that, but when she was shopping, she realized there was no such thing as a stylist, and she thought, here's something I could do. I can help women find the perfect wedding dress, and that's it. And maybe bridesmaid dresses. So slowly but surely, she took a class at the Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York City. So she started very slow steps. Again, like not quite sure where it's going to lead. And first she thought, as it says in the story, she thought she would design wedding accessories. And then she's like, nah, that's not it. And then she's like, you know what? I'm just going to help women find a perfect wedding dress. And that was her business. And she's doing gangbusters.
That's amazing. So, and it is just a great way to flip the narrative as well, because what do most brides do when they want to get married and they want the perfect dresses? They'll starve themselves within an inch of their lives to try and fit into it this dress that probably won't fit them, instead of finding the dress that just suits them right now.
Right, right. You know? And also, but just to get back to, sometimes you don't know what your passion is. She had no idea she would go from Wall Street to a bridal stylist. But on her journey, she saw something that resonated with her. And she created this whole new niche that did not exist. So you just never know.
Can I just say thank you for saying niche and not niche? Because it's sort of like... gets the hair standing up on the back of my neck. So
that's funny.
Well, Sandy, we have come to the end of our podcast. I really enjoyed speaking to you about the website. I'll send everybody over there because it's so great.
Thank you.
And maybe there's something on there for the listeners out there that really helps them, like just get them on the right path.
Sure. We're always looking for new stories. Everyone's got one.
And so maybe theirs is exactly what you're looking for. So if you want to share something, then yeah, there's an application process on the website as well.
Yes, very easy. Or just reach out to one of us, Sandy or Rose or Heidi at gritandsoul.net.
And watch this space, because you're going fabulous places, I think, right?
I hope so. I mean, I love doing it. And I think there's just more stories to tell and more ways to tell them. That's what we're doing.
Great. I love it. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Okay, and take care, everyone. Bye for now.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on my services, head over to my website at fitandchips.com. That's like fish and chips, fitandchips.com. Or you can head over to my Fit and Chips Facebook page too. If you leave me a comment or if you contact me, I promise I'll do my best to respond to all of your questions. The views and advice expressed by myself in this show are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always go straight to your doctor. Take care. Love you. Bye.